This evening's reading is taken from Proverbs chapter 15, verses 13 through to 33, and that's on page 650 of the Church Bibles. So Proverbs chapter 15, starting at verse 13. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. The discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. All the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart is a continual feast. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Better a dish of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly brings joy to one who has no sense, but whoever has understanding keeps a straight course. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisers they succeed. A person finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. The path of life leads upward for the prudent, to keep them from going down to the realm of the dead. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he sets the widow's boundary stones in place. The Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, but gracious words are pure in his sight. The greedy bring ruin to their households, but the one who hates bribes will live. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Light in a messenger's eyes brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. Those who disregard discipline despise themselves, but the one who heeds correction gains understanding. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honour.
Let's pray as we turn to God's word. Let's pray. Dear Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Open our minds to understand your words here in the book of Proverbs. And open our hearts and set them on fire with a fresh love for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A few weeks ago, I bought a new pair of gardening gloves. Yeah, okay, I'm sad, aren't I? I realize that doesn't sound like a major news item for a church service, but bear with me. Ruth and I needed to do some gardening work. And as we were in the gardening centre, we both got a new pair of gloves. What was interesting was when I put on my gloves. To my surprise, there was a piece of paper inside one of the gloves. I carefully took it out and opened the sheet. Amazingly, it was a set of instructions. Really? For a pair of gloves, why would you need a set of instructions? You put on a glove and you use it. Doesn't everyone know that? Apparently not. Incidentally, there were only instructions in my gloves. Ruth's gloves were empty. Obviously, the ladies in our community know how to use a set of gloves. For the benefit of any visitors, in the evening services here at BH, we have been looking at the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. Initially, the series started by looking at verse by verse in the opening chapters. But more recently, we've been looking at various themes that are spread across the whole book. This time, we're looking at what the book of Proverbs says to us about humility. And I'm guessing that even as I said the word humility, most of us were thinking, why do we need a sermon about humility? In the same way that I didn't need a set of instructions for using a pair of gardening gloves, most of us probably know what humility is all about. Or do we? I've heard someone jokingly say, "I'm so humble, I've got to pray for pride." But perhaps that joke highlights part of the problem. We often consider humility as the opposite of pride and arrogance and self-importance. Yes, that's true. But that is focusing on what is not humility rather than looking at what the Bible actually says about being humble. Before we continue, it might be helpful to have a definition of what we mean by humility. The dictionary defines humble as having a low estimate of one's importance, worthiness, or merits. In the Bible, the Apostle Paul puts it this way in Colossians 3, 12 and 13. "Clothe yourselves with humility. Bear with each other and forgive one another." In other words, godly humility is not so much something that we do as something that is an undercurrent in every part of our Christian lives. We are to be clothed with humility as we go about our daily lives. So humility is expressed as we follow God wholeheartedly and in loving obedience. Humility is not about our lack of self-importance, but rather how we worship and honor God. It's interesting that Paul did not list humility as one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. And I think that is deliberate. Why? Because humility is present in each of the spiritual gifts. So, godly love is love clothed in humility. Godly joy is joy clothed in humility. Godly self-control is self-control clothed in humility. Which explains why our Bible reading for this evening was from Proverbs 15, 13 to 33. Although humility is not mentioned explicitly until the last verse, humility is expected and assumed in all words of wisdom. And perhaps that is why there are only a few verses in the book of Proverbs that directly speak about humility. Hopefully, when you came in this evening, you were given a sheet with six Bible verses. These are all the verses that I could find in Proverbs that explicitly mention humility. So, what does Proverbs say about humility? Firstly, there is the pattern of humility. The pattern. Proverbs 15, verse 33 says, "The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor." It's very easy to think that humility is a characteristic that is only sought after and found in human lives. But the Bible tells us that God is humble and that as his people, he is the pattern of humility that we are to follow. As Christians, we believe in one true God who lives eternally in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Each of these three persons provides us a pattern of humility. Firstly, God the Father, in his vision of heaven, the prophet Isaiah tells us, Isaiah 6, verse 1, that he saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne. And similarly, Psalm 97, verse 9 says, "For you, Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods." All through the Bible, God the Father is described with words like almighty and majestic, fearful, terrible, powerful, ruler, greatness. There are many other words that highlight the glorious, great God that we worship. But then Psalm 113, 5 and 6 says, "Who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high, who humbles himself to regard the heavens and the earth?" This is an amazing truth. God the Father, who is so high, so exalted, so mind-blowingly vast and holy, that he must humbly lower himself just to admire the universe that he has created. Secondly, God the Son. Humility is so pleasing to God the Father that God's only Son, Jesus, humbled himself when he became a man. The Apostle Paul describes this in Philippians 2, 6 to 8. Though he was God, he did not think the equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Jesus was with the Heavenly Father when he created the universe at the beginning of time. Yet, in loving obedience, Jesus humbled himself, stepped into the limitations of our human form, and paid the penalty that our sins deserve. And lastly, God the Holy Spirit. Near the end of his earthly life, Jesus said to his disciples, this is John 14, 16 and 17, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth." Later, on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verse 4 says that all of the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, he came down from heaven, he humbled himself and filled God's people here on earth with supernatural gifts and abilities. D.L. Moody, the American evangelist, is quoted to have said, "Be humble or you'll stumble." My point is this: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit provide us with a divine pattern of genuine and sacrificial humility. As Christians, as followers and disciples of Jesus, we are called to, well, not just learn about humility, but to clothe ourselves daily with humility and to proactively show godly humility to our friends and to our families and to our community. The pattern of humility, and secondly, the power of humility. This is Proverbs 29, verse 23. "Pride ends in humiliation, while humility brings honor." Contrary to what people may think, humility is not a weakness. Our society sees humility as a weakness, mainly because our culture promotes that we should be prideful, overconfident in ourselves, and we should seek honor for ourselves. As a result, it shouldn't be a surprise that most media celebrities are not seen as having humility. Humility is considered a weakness because people see it as a lack of confidence or a lack of self-esteem. But humility is actually a strength. It is powerful. It takes a strong person to be humble and to put others before themselves. We've already seen that Jesus Christ, God's only Son, is a pattern of humility. He stepped out of heaven and was born into our human world. Jesus experienced everything of what it means to live like one of us. He has first-hand experience of the pain and the joy of human life. In his humble human form, Jesus saw the beauty and the wonder of our creation. Yet he also tasted the bitterness and the agony of dying on a cruel cross. But Jesus' physical resurrection from the grave is the ultimate evidence of the power of humility. Because Jesus humbly obeyed his heavenly Father, death was defeated once and for all. When I was growing up in the dark ages when people listened to the radio, well, on Sunday afternoons, my mother always listened to the hymn singing on the BBC. Music was an essential part of our home, so hymns on Sunday were effectively compulsory and non-negotiable. I confess that at first, I objected, strongly objected. But then I heard a hymn where, for the first time, the words and the music made an impact in my thoughts and in my life. The song poetically describes Jesus' arrest and his trial and his torture and his crucifixion on Good Friday. But all that agony is offset with the words of the chorus that say, "He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me." My point is this: the power of humility is seen in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As God's Son, he had the qualifications and the power to stop the crucifixion, but he didn't. As God's Son, Jesus could have avoided dying on the cross, but he didn't. And because Jesus humbled himself, and because he obeyed his heavenly Father in loving obedience, death is now defeated. The power of humility is seen in the resurrection from the dead of Jesus Christ. Rick Warren, the American pastor, is quoted to have said, "True humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less." As Christians, as followers and disciples of Jesus, we are called to clothe ourselves daily with humility, to think of ourselves less, and to show godly humility to our friends and to our families and to our community. We do this not in our own strength, but through the resurrection power of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. The pattern of humility, the power of humility, and lastly, the purpose of humility. Proverbs 11, verse 2 says, "Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." It's interesting that in this verse, the word translated humility means a pipe or a hollow conduit. So the phrase, "with humility comes wisdom," paints the picture of someone receiving God's divine wisdom through the channel of humility. But this raises an important question. How does humility actively behave? In other words, how do we do humility? Let me share three verses from Proverbs. Firstly, humility reveres. This is Proverbs 13, verse 13. Whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself, but he who reveres the commandment will be rewarded. Humility behaves by revering and respecting and honoring God's word in the Bible. So whenever we read the Bible, let us remind ourselves and say, God has a blessing for me here. Even if we don't understand what we've just read, let us still say, I don't understand this yet, but I will not dismiss these words as irrelevant. Humility reveres. Secondly, humility listens. Proverbs 15, verse 31. If you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. I think we will all agree that this is a tough one. Constructive criticism is often difficult and painful. But humbly listening to someone giving us trusted correction is how we can receive godly wisdom into our lives. Humility listens. And lastly, humility confesses. This is Proverbs 28, 13. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. If we're honest with ourselves, if we're really honest with ourselves, we would much prefer to hide our faults and save face in front of people. But humility confesses our wrongdoings and turns away from our sin. Let us not be worried about what other people are doing or thinking, but rather let us focus on our own lives and quickly confess our own sin to God. We have this assurance that God is quick to forgive when we seek forgiveness and confess our sin. Humility reveres. Humility listens. Humility confesses. This might sound like a little bit of an oxymoron, but the purpose of humility is not to be humble. The purpose of humility is so that we honor God with every part of our lives. By humbling ourselves before God, by following God in loving obedience, we are honoring him and open to receive God's wisdom in our lives. Saint Augustine, the first century theologian, a quote from him, he said, "It was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels." As Christians, as followers of Jesus, let us clothe ourselves daily with humility, to think of ourselves less, to give God the priority in our lives that he deserves, and to show godly humility to our friends and our families, and yes, to our community. The pattern of humility, the power of humility, the purpose of humility. Our lives today are full of different voices. Appetite says, be sensuous, enjoy yourself. Education says, be resourceful, expand yourself. Materialism says, be satisfied, please yourself. Psychology says, be confident, fulfill yourself. Pride says, be superior, promote yourself. Humanism says, be capable, believe in yourself. God says, be wise, humble yourself. To put it bluntly, which voice are we listening to tonight? Or more importantly, which voice is the one who said, I am the only way to God and the real truth and the real life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Surely this is the best voice and the one that we should be listening to always. This week, let us clothe ourselves daily with humility and to think of ourselves less. And as we seek a better future, let us follow the pattern of humility that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit have provided for us. Let us live out the power of humility that we have received through the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. And let us understand the purpose of humility by humbling ourselves before God and following him in loving obedience. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we confess again that the message from this passage is challenging and far-reaching. So we ask that you will give us your insights and your wisdom to understand your word and to apply it to our lives. Humbly, we offer ourselves to you. Help us this week to pursue humility in our minds, humility in our actions, and humility in our interactions with others. Give us the strength to say no to self and yes to you. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, mold us and shape us and empower us to be worthy representatives and ambassadors for you. In Jesus' name, amen.